Welcome back. This is episode 2 of The Putting Couch, presented by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. I'm Jim, and I'm here with Cody and Ted. And guys, we launched our pilot maiden voyage last week, talked in a lot of generalities about what we think we might be able to accomplish with discussions about all things putting, and really, it was amazing the feedback we had. People did find us.
Yeah. They did find us, and it was awesome feedback that they sent in. So
we heard from a lot of you out there, and it's fantastic. We're going to try and incorporate it into our notes. So it looks like we already probably have a year's worth of future podcasts already lined up. There are so many things to talk about. And I think today we're gonna talk about, again, just to put an emphasis on why putting, you know, what part of the game this really is. And I took a few notes, and let's all kick in. But I know, you know, they talk about putting. Just this morning they were talking about Tiger Woods' round yesterday, and you know, they said he had 10 putts inside of 10 feet and he made 4. I mean, that's the best player in the world coming off of a major championship. You know, if you look at various stats, I mean, there's some stats that show that the average avid golfer takes 34 putts around. Putter used definitely 40% of all shots. Another 20% is 100 yards and in wedges, so 60% short game. The USGA says that the average male golfer, if he counts them all up, shoots 98 to 99 and has 40 putts in a round. And PGA Tour pros, they only make 50% of their putts from 8 feet. So those are some things that, you know, I'm just throwing out to establish again that, you know, there's a lot of work can be done on putting. Cody, what are some of the things that you've thought about?
Well, I think it's when people get frustrated with a game very often, right, is putting. But, you know, we get over it and we have, you know, we feel like from such a short distance we should be, you know, more than good enough to make those putts at, you know, really any level of golfer. But we were talking about early, you know, if you look at some of the stats that are out there, you know, the average 18 handicap or someone that shoots around 90 is more likely to 3-putt at 20 feet versus make it. So it shows you how difficult it can be. And like you said, I mean, from 8 feet, the average tour pro only makes about 50% of their putts, and they're putting on the best surfaces in the world. While, you know, those are great greens and they're undulated and they're, you know, they're difficult, they're still the most purest surfaces that golfers play on. So it just shows you how difficult it'd be. And I think, you know, there's components of it that help us make it easier, relying on fundamentals and speed control help us, you know, to reduce putts. I mean, those golfers are obviously having a lot of 3-putts. So, you know, I think there's things out there that they can work on in order to help, you know, help influence better speed control and better aim, better precision off the face. So,
and obviously, I mean, at the highest levels, we do see this a lot too, is that it's not really just about putts per round, because obviously if you're really, really good with the wedge, you're going to end up with a lot of shots sort of around the green, whether you're in bunkers, whether you're on the fringe or the rough. And obviously the closer you get that final shot to the green, the better your chances. But, you know, 20 feet, I mean, 50-50, whether you're going to 1-putt or 3-putt. So how do people go about improving in putting? I mean, just besides going and getting fit, which we're going to talk about, just in terms of the practice, I mean, what should they do? How often should they do it? And how should they break it down?
Well, I think that's a great key, right, is practice. You've got to put more time into it. You see how much time the tour players put in it. Yeah, we're, you know, an average golfer, and we go out and we expect to putt well, but we don't put the time into it. And that's like anything. You have to put the repetitions in to form better and new habits. So, you know, I think having the right practice plan means a lot. How do I go out and practice? You know, again, I think there's three great keys in order to be a good putter. One, you have to, you know, you have to have control over your speed. Two is you got to aim the putter reasonably well. And three is you have to start the ball in line. And so there's some, you know, some practice plans that you can put in place. And I think a lot of that is just getting the feel of the green drone and spending more time around the green hitting putts. But, you know, I mean, one of the, you know, the neat things is like, you know, you have all these stats out there and talking about the hole size and speed control, which we can get more into. But there's so many good drills out there that you can do in order just to improve. No matter what putter you're using or what style you're using, You know, I think it comes down to just putting more time into it.
You know, it's interesting, Cody, because you talk about those all those things that, that you know, are components of great putting. And, you know, the other thing you didn't even mention is I guess it's theoretically possible for somebody to master all of those components of putting and still not be a good putter if they can't read the greens.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, there's so many factors involved. And Ted, you've been out working with players on tour. I mean, what are some of the drills that, you see them, the best players in the world, use on a regular basis that maybe, you know, we should all think about this afternoon going out and spending a little time practicing ourselves?
Well, one, you know, probably one of the better drills is the where you have the simple ladder drill that people use, you know, on a straight putt. You can put it, you walk out 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 to 25 feet. You put tee on the ground at each of those spots, and then from behind the cup, you place a club 2 feet behind it, and then you have on either side of the cup, you have two tees that are the same length of the club. So if you can picture, you know, a rectangle back behind that cup. And so you want to putt, you can putt 3 balls from 10 feet, and your goal is, you know, naturally you would like to make it, but you want to get it past the hole but without hitting the club. If you make it, you get 2 points. If you get within that rectangle, you get 1 point. If you hit the club or you come short, you don't pass the hole or the tees, you get a minus a point. You do that 3 times, and you work your way back to 15, 20, 25 feet. And ideally, you want to try to get it within that rectangle box just to work on your speed. It is a great drill that, you know, you can use it on all sides of the cup. So, you know, you have a left to right break, right to left break, uphill, downhill, and you just work your way around. And you can spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes doing that, and it's before long that you get accustomed to it and you start to get in a program. So every time you go out there, now you have a method or some type of a system that, you know, instead of just throwing 3 balls down and just knocking whatever, now you have an idea of something to work on.
I think that's a great drill because, and we see a lot of guys on tour that do that drill, but, you know, your feel changes every day. You wake up, you feel different. It's a great drill to recalibrate your feel from when you go out to the golf course. If you play the same golf course, or obviously if you play a different golf course and you play a lot of different golf courses throughout the summer, it's really easy to sort of help you calibrate for that day. And speed control, we've talked about a little bit right now, but it's being so important. You know, I was talking with a student the other day and here about it is, you know, the cup's 4.25 inches across, right? So, you know, with perfect speed, you can use the absolute biggest, most surface area of the cup. So the ball's got to fall in. You can, if you just had dead weight speed, you can use the entire surface area of the cup. But if you hit it 3 feet past, you know, if with that kind of distance, you're going to shrink the cup. It goes from 4.25 to, I think, around 1.5 inches in size. So if we say perfect speed is around 12 inches past, that means we're getting the putts to the hole, but we're not running it too far past, or we're not leaving a lot of putts short because obviously we're not going to give ourselves enough. We're not going to give ourselves the opportunity to make it. If we say 12 inches past is the perfect speed, and we say, okay, well, 12 inches past the perfect speed, but we hit it 3 feet past, just the difference in that is like shrinking the hole about 45%. So it gives you an idea to wrap your mind around how important not only a setup and alignment and starting the ball in line is, but speed control.
So that's interesting because, again, one of the old myths or wives' tales that you hear, of course, is that, you know, 0% of the putts, you know, that don't get there don't go in. And yes, that's true. But I guess what I'm hearing is that over the course of 18 holes and you're trying to minimize your putts and improve your score, that you might be better off leaving a couple putts short in the name of in the name of not ramming them by and maybe having a few fall in that are at the right speed. So I know some tour players have different theories. Some of them still are very aggressive because they feel like they can make that 3-footer coming back. But it's not even just about that. As you said, if it's going too fast, you now take the edges away because nothing's going to fall in at the edge. It's going to burn the edge. So that's interesting food for thought. And I have talked to players before on tour who I expected all of them would embrace, I have to get it, you know, I'm fine if I hit it 3 or 4 feet by because I can make 3 or 4 footers and I give myself a chance to make every one of those. But they've seen the statistics, Cody, and they don't want to shrink the hole. So a lot of them tell me the same thing. No, I'm trying to get it just to the hole.
Right, and that's that just gives you – you have a wider cone of acceptability to make the putt. Now, are we going to be – we're obviously human and we have error, right? Are we going to be that precise? But having that mentality and the precision around that mentality, instead of just trying to hit a fairway, you're trying to hit a small point – really, you know, it just requires a little bit of extra focus, and a little bit of extra focus in that area of the game can make a lot of difference. And having 40 putts versus 35 that round, that's a quick, you know, five shots that you just knocked off.
You know, I played in a scramble this week, so first time out this year, and it was a fun sort of a team-building scramble. But I was struck by the fact that, you know, when it comes to putting, nowhere does the sort of impact of line and speed come in more than when four of you are taking the same putt over and over. And you would think that with four chances, the putt just gets easier and easier and easier. But you realize that you might have four players in a group that are all seeing different lines and different speeds. And so not only are they not going to school on the guy that hits in front of them, sometimes it's a setback because they're seeing it differently. So again, just to highlight the complexity of putting.
No question. And it's, you know, that is absolutely right. You know, you can take different lines, and I think under certain scenarios, that's absolutely, you know, fine. And it just shows you how, you know, how precise you have to be. And again, green reading. So as you're, you know, I think your speed gets better, it can control the, you know, how you read greens and help you to be more effective in that area.
Ted, what about in terms of having fun out there while practicing? What are some of the other jewels that you've seen, even at the tour level, where, you know, maybe instead of being monotonous, practicing putting can actually be some fun?
You can always play 21. So, I mean, you have two holes that are, you know, 15, 20 feet apart. You and a partner are out there, and I'm on one hole and Cody's on the other hole. And, you know, try not to make it a straight hole for the most part, and you just try to, I make the putt, then I get a point, then we switch sides. Cody has a try, and you just keep on going back and forth till you get 21. You can have something along those lines.
So you're each at a hole putting towards each other.
Right, but you only have one ball, so you would stay at that particular hole until someone makes it.
Gotcha, okay.
And then once you make it, then both of us would switch.
Gotcha.
And so after a while, you would think that it get easier and easier, but again, you're just honing that putt and trying to get the speed right, and trying to get the break right. So it's just a fun little game to get to. We do that every now and then. Cody and I go out there over here at the little course and play that game. So it's just a nice, fun way to practice your setup every single time, your putting stroke, your speed, but also you're doing it with the buddy. So is it practice? Yes, it is practice, but in a roundabout way, we're having fun doing it.
You know, Rob Aiken, I don't know if you remember this, we were out at Spring Creek Ranch, and he's the director of instruction out there, and it was a big member guest tournament. And I saw something, he did a little experiment that was actually really, really interesting. He had a massive downhill putt that was about 50 feet long, and he went to each side of that putt. So there was a hole at each end of the 50 feet. So one of them was just a 50-foot straight up the hill putt, and then the one coming back was same 50 feet coming straight down the hill. And he asked a group of 100 players standing around there, you know, which one's going to get to the, you know, which putt is going to get to the hole first, right? The one straight down the hill screaming fast, right? Or the one straight up the hill. And, of course, 99 out of the 100 people raised their hands and said that it was a downhill putt. And then, of course, he took that downhill putt and he rolled it. And the speed that thing had to be going at to actually have a chance to go in and get close to the hole was the slowest putt you've ever seen. And seconds were ticking off on the straight downhill putt. One 1,000, two 1,000. It ended up being 2 to 3 times longer for the ball to get there on the downhill putt than the uphill putt. And it was just one of those funny things that I think just showed another parameter of, you know, when, hey, those downhill putts in touch, I mean, you're not going to hit it very hard, and you've got to visualize that. So you have to come up with practice that allows you to visualize the speed.
Yeah, there's another one that, I don't know, we have done with Russell Knox a few times with the perfect putter that, and we call it the Knox drill, Fort Knox drill. And so on the perfect putter, they have a number system. And so, like, you could drop it from 5. And so we would drop it from 5, and wherever that ball would end up, in the cup, right, that's where he would mark the tee. And so, similar to what you were saying, so in essence, you want to try to have the same speed of putt on every place around that tee. So on downhill putts, if I dropped it at a 5, it would be like a 25 or 30 foot putt, right? But if I dropped it at 5 on an uphill putt, it would be more like a 6 foot or 7 foot along those lines. And so we just did that around a circle. And hopefully the idea was you're going to use the same stroke, same tempo, but you would see that, okay, from short hill, from the shorter putts, you got to, this is where the ball's going to end up. For the longer putts, this is how it's going to end up. So it's a fun little drill that, right, you know, we would try to make going around in a circle.
So he's got the same stroke in his mind for an 8 foot uphill putt as he has for a 30 foot downhill putt. Exactly, yes. The same stroke. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot to think about.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of my favorite drills out there, because it just challenges you. You don't really think about, you know, hitting the same stroke, but in reality you are. So it just, you know, it gives you that feel you need to say, okay, like Rob was showing us, which is really cool, is how long is this putt going to take to come to a resting point, right? It might be 1,001, and it might be 10 seconds, or it might be 5 seconds, because the uphill putt's going to get there and stop much quicker. So just gives you that mindset and something else to think about when you're standing over a 10-foot left or right or straight downhill. How long do I have to give myself for this putt to, you know, to come to rest? So I may need to play a little bit higher break on this in order to do that.
And to add that, what made it very consistent for Russell was, I know this is the putting couch presented by the Seymour Putter Company, but because he was hiding the red dot and seeing the two white lines, he was setting up the same way every single time and has the ball in the same position on his putting stroke. So wherever he went around that Knox drill, he was setting up the same way, shoulders always square. So he knew what that stroke felt like from all 20 different putts that he was going along. So, I mean, it's hard to have a break, you know what the break is. It's hard to know what the speed is for every single putt. You're playing on different greens all the time. But the one key consistent factor in all that is that he was setting up the same way. He got comfortable over that 30-foot putt just like he got comfortable over a 5-foot putt. Cody talked earlier about practicing. You know, there are times when we don't have a whole lot of practice and we jump from the car and hit a few balls on the driving range and we just wave to the putting green. Well, because I use that Seymour putter and we use that Seymour putter, we get to that first hole, we feel comfortable getting on that green because we actually been there before. The quote I use all the time is, this putter makes you feel like you played golf yesterday just because you're setting up the same way.
And so, you know, the Seymour putter, I mean, we always say the Seymour putter helps to solve a lot of the variables in putting that allow somebody to start practicing and playing better. Going back to the myths, some of the myths that people have, because, I mean, I think one of the biggest issues, Cody, is that golfers have a very limited belief system a lot of times in putting, and they maybe have read one or two things, and there are a lot of articles out there on putting and how to putt and what have you. But, I mean, one of the guys that is really at the top of our global Seymour teaching system and really the guy that we all lean to every single day is Pat O'Brien, the director of instruction down at Lakewood down in Dallas, Texas, and really Seymour's first tour director, who parlayed that into becoming one of the great putting coaches on tour, really in the days before. It was something that we expected to see. And Pat was out there working with guys like Zach Johnson and Vaughn Taylor. But Pat's always said there's some putting myths out there that it helps right off the bat to get out there. And Pat's three, and we'll get Pat on himself. So I don't want to get too much into the specifics of his belief system. But, you know, one was where you grip the putter. I mean, you know, in kind of grip it in the hands or grip it out in the fingers. And then the next two, you know, the eyes out over the ball. It seems like so many golfers come to us and say, well, I'm trying to get my eyes out over the ball. I'm trying to get my eyes out over the putter. And, you know, some people even go beyond that and have their eyes even on the outside of the putter. Well, I know Pat and has always believed, as we do, and as it seems like most players on tour now believe, is that the eyes really are going to be a little bit inside of the ball. Okay, so that's a myth. If you're out there thinking that your eyes need to be out over the ball, you're probably practicing the wrong things. And kind of hand in hand with that goes straight back and straight through versus an arc. And that's probably the number one thing out there is everybody sort of first and foremost feels like they need to identify themselves as, well, I'm straight back and straight through, or I'm on an arc. And we're not necessarily sure that that's as much as of a simple, you know, black and white area as it seems. So, I mean, Cody, what are some of the thoughts and some of the issues with that mindset of I'm either straight back and straight through or I'm an arc putter?
Yeah, and Pat's been instrumental in sort of molding sort of my philosophy and teaching as well. And we've had that conversation a lot, and I think we've seen it a lot now that you have such great technology and video and access to it. You have guys walk into the studio. I see them all the time, great players down to beginners that have the mindset of, I'm going to putt straight back and straight through. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that with that mentality, they're trying to force a stroke in order to move perfectly straight back with a putter face, right? And so what a lot of times happens is they end up airing to the outside. So you get a stroke that starts to move more outside to in, where they really have to manipulate and control the putter face with their hands. So while I think, you know, can you do it? Yes, it's going to take a lot of repetition, a lot of timing. There's not been very many successful people that have been great putters that have employed that methodology. I think it, you know, when you start talking to somebody and explaining, you know, sort of why the putter reacts the way it does, I think they start understanding, well, the shaft may work on one plane, but the actual putter head itself is going to create a small arc. And if you have any thoughts on this, go stand up against a wall and put your putter face against the wall and really try to make it stay along the wall, and you'll start to feel how much sort of compensation or manipulation you have to do in order to keep that face along the wall. The putter source naturally wants to swing a little in, back to square and a little in. Now for people, you know, what size of arc that is, that depends on the setup, and we can get into that later. But that is one of the things I have seen is trying to match up, you know, their mentality and what they're trying to do with actually what's happening. And you know, we stand to the side of the golf ball, the putter's really going to have some rise and rotation to it.
So I guess going along those lines, Ted, you know, it seems like, I know Pat's always said, you know, let the natural setup work for you. Don't fight it.
Exactly. He always says you don't enforce your will on the putter, and because that's due to setup, to the length of putter. I think a lot of times when people say straight back, straight through, they're trying to try to have the putter face as square as possible to the target line. And so when that happens, as you know, if you look at it, and Pat explains it too, is that when this happens, the putter head goes back so low to the ground that if you don't physically bring that putter head back up through impact, the dreaded Y word comes into play. And so I think that's where people thought, okay, if I can try to go as straight back as possible and straight through as possible, that putter face is always staying square. We don't hit our drives that way or our iron shots that way. So like Cody says, there's got to be a little bit of art going into that. However, when that happens, okay, because people, and again, I'm going back to the Seymour putter, why it's so good is our ball position is always in the same spot. So if you're going straight back, straight through, you're thinking that if I make an arc stroke, my putter head is not going to come square to impact every single time. So in order for me, in my mind, to make that work, I got to manipulate my hand straight back and straight through, where their ball position is always different. Sometimes it's middle stance, sometimes it's left toes. It always changes for every single putt. And so they can never get a consistent feel, roll, sound coming off that ball. Because that red dot's hidden, that putter face is going to come through dead square every single time, and ball position is going to be just fine. And so now you have that stroke like you would with a pure driver swing or wedge swing, where the ball is just coming through in the same feel, roll, and sounds coming off that ball every single time.
You know, a lot of our listeners were around during the the recent debates over anchoring. And if you remember, you know, one of the main methods that started getting employed more and more and more with junior golfers and with instructors and with tour players was what they call the belly putter. And, you know, the belly putter, if you want to go out and replicate it right now, just grab a little bit longer club in your bag. Grab maybe your 5-wood or your 3-wood if you don't remember these days. And, you know, stick it just above your navel, right? And just stand over in a comfortable position and just let that thing, just bring it back, you know, with the end of the grip anchored in your body, and watch it come back and watch it rotate through. It's on a perfect natural arc, and every single time at the bottom of the arc, the club face is square, and that's essentially what happens in a perfect putting stroke as well, right?
Well, and that's it. It's a consistent suspension point, or one point that it revolves around, whether it's the long putter, right, broomstick anchor, whether it's the belly putter, but it is working on an arc, and it's, you know, if you connect those dots in terms of the backstroke, the lowest point of the arc, and then the follow through, and you put that on a plane, you know, that's going to create your arc there. And I think that's allows golfers, if they can wrap their mind around that, to have a more consistent stroke time in and time again, and day in and day out, because it's just easier to repeat, because you're not trying to control it with your smaller muscles.
And actually, while it does come slightly to the inside and then it closes slightly to the inside, it's what we call, it's square to the plane at all times, right?
The face is square to your path at all times during the stroke. And that's what requires you not to really have to manipulate the club face.
So it's possible that, I mean, it's possible that if you're trying to employ an arc and you're overworking it, that's just as bad as trying to do the straight back and straight through, right? Because it means that you're actually artificially manipulating it.
Yeah, and you want to try to, again, use your bigger muscles. You don't want to try to have any hands involved in manipulating that putter face. And so you now, I mean, this would be another great topic, is we can talk about putter design, you know, and how an offset, straight shaft, you know, blade, mallet can help you or hurt you in that manner. And so, again, by just allowing you to let that putter head come back, it wants to come back up and inside, back down and up and inside. You know, you see those guys, I use this analogy, you're on the driving range and you see those guys that are so far away from that golf ball with that driver, and their natural takeaway is way inside, and they got to come through and come way over the top to hit it, you know, straight for the most part, or they're so close to that golf ball, they automatically have to take that club head outside the line, and then they got to get out of the way to bring that club head through. So we find that happy medium, and getting back to where you say with your eyes sort of just inside the heel of the putter head, that's where we like to see that putter.
That's a great, great point, because I think one of the things that I've seen in the studio here a lot and with working with guys is that, you know, we just talked about stroke path, but I think a lot of golfers would benefit, rather than worrying about stroke path, is worrying about setup. Because your setup and your fundamentals control a lot of the mechanics within your stroke. So if you try to get too tilted and get your eyes over the golf ball, and let's say you just err on the outside, and your hands sort of get trapped and restricted, well, that's going to force the path a little higher and steeper into the outside. So really working on setup and trying to control your setup can allow you to have a more consistent free-flowing stroke that may work on an arc, but you may not have to force it.
That's fantastic. Hey, this has been another great discussion. I mean, we're going to leave more for next time, and keep the ideas coming. We hope that those that have enjoyed the first podcast have enjoyed the second one. And this is the Putting Couch, presented by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. I'm Jim. You've been with Cody, Ted. Guys, I spent a lot of time on all the tours, teaching and training the best players in the world, as well as the future stars of tomorrow. So we'll talk about juniors. Gosh, a lot of stuff to go to next time. We will lay out, you know, I guess maybe what we'll do next time is lay out a bit of a agenda looking forward. There's so many ideas that have come up and so much great feedback. So let us know what you think. Let us know how share with your friends, exactly. And the Putting Couch, we are going to do this on a regular basis because it's a lot of fun, and hopefully you're going to get out maybe this week and practice putting a little bit more, and then you'll have some even better feedback for us based on today's discussion. Thanks, everyone.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.